Welcome, everybody, to Stockholm Vineyard. My name is Norbert. I'm one of the leaders here at the church. I want to thank you for coming today. I know you were tempted to stay out in nature, take out the boat, check out the summer house, take a nice walk, but you came. God will bless you for that, because that's what we do. We need each other and we come together. We don't come to get from God, but you can't come and meet with God and go home empty. There's just no way. His nature is to bless his children, and I believe that that's what he's going to do today. We started last Sunday a series about the Holy Spirit, the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And for most of us in this room, this is not anything new. You probably have heard about that a lot. But the cool thing about the Word of God is that you never get done understanding it. And even though you may think you know everything about prophecy, I promise you, you'll hear some things today that maybe you've never heard before. And my goal and my desire and my aim is that we will get so excited about this gift that it will change us from the inside out. It will change our church. It will change our city. It will change our nation. Because I tell you that this gift is something very, very special. Why is that yellow? Mine isn't yellow. Okay. All right. It's not supposed to look like that, but as long as you can read it. As Andreas mentioned, this gift of prophecy, Paul thinks, is one of the most important. And it started way, way back in the Old Testament. It started with Moses, actually, who was probably the first prophet. And when they were in the wilderness, there was a time when two guys dared to prophesy. And Joshua got a little bit upset. Because he thought, hey, Moses is the prophet here. What are you guys doing? You can't prophesy. And then Moses said in Numbers 11, he said, are you jealous for my sake? I wish that all the Lord's people were prophets and that the Lord would put his spirit upon them all. Seems like God heard that prayer and that desire of Moses. And 2,000 years ago, he did pour out his Spirit on all his children. And so today, if you are a believer in Jesus Christ, you have access to the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And there's nothing you need to do to earn that, because gifts are free. There's nothing you need to reach first, but it is for you. So listen carefully today, because this gift is going to blow your mind. It's going to change your life if you let it. I think Andreas mentioned that last week as well. In 1 Corinthians, Paul says, let love be your highest goal, but you should also desire the special abilities the Spirit gives, especially the ability to prophesy. And we heard a little bit about the tension in those words, the urgency in those words. This is not an optional thing. This is not an add-on. This is not a plug-in. This is something that needs to be part of your very being, of your fiber, of your spirit. And you need to desire it more than anything else. And you'll find out shortly why. It is just such an amazing gift. There's not a question whether you can prophesy or not. You can. The question is whether you want to or not. And I know some of us have had bad experiences. Some of us have heard prophecies that kind of turned you off because they just didn't sound right. And maybe they were wrong. Maybe they weren't even prophecies. But they were given as such. And so you were kind of, no, I don't need this. I don't want this. So I'll stay away from that. Or maybe some of you have received some prophecy, some word from God, and it never happened. So, okay, well, what was that? Forget it. I want nothing to do with that. I'll stick with the things I understand, things that work. You see, the enemy has been working overtime to get us to let go of this gift. Because there is such tremendous power that is being unleashed when we use it and receive it right. So today I want to just look at a few things here. What is prophecy? What's the nature of prophecy? There's some phases of prophecy. What do I do with prophecy? And how do I mature in prophecy? So we'll start with the first one, obviously. What then is prophecy? Sometimes those of you that have come to this church, or if you have come to some other church, you have heard someone saying things like, I believe there's someone in the room that has an earache and God wants to heal you. That is not a prophecy. That is a word of knowledge. Another cool gift, by the way, and we'll probably talk about that. But that is not prophecy. Prophecy goes actually far beyond seeing something and talking about it. It's speaking about something that God has revealed to you. It's connecting people with the heart of God. It's plugging them into who they are in the Lord and who the Lord wants to be for them right now. Now think about that. So as you prophesy, as we prophesy to each other, we are actually giving life to each other. Because that's what Jesus said. The words I have spoken to you are spirit and life. And prophecy is speaking the words of Jesus to each other. Nothing else. Nothing more, nothing less. And as we do that, we're actually imparting life to one another. Think about that. You can impart life to another human being through the words that you speak. But of course, they are not your words. They're actually His words. You just become the mouthpiece. You become the interpreter. You become the tool. And to think that every one of us can do that. I don't know about you, but that gets me excited. It contains weight in the spiritual realm. There is power behind the words of Jesus, whether they are spoken through us or through Him directly or through some other media. They are creative. They are dynamic. It's God releasing His word through us. And so, as such, we release grace, we release favor, and we release the kingdom of God in people's lives. Isn't that what we all desire, what we want, what we need? And we've been given this incredible tool at our disposal to give all those things to our brothers, to our sisters, even to the people in the street. It's not restricted to church alone. You can prophesy to anyone, as long as you have heard God speak to you about that. It affects what happens in the spiritual realm. And I go as far as to say that it's through the word of prophecy that history has been changed. It's through the word of prophecy that lives and directions of lives are being changed. And I'm going to mention that a bit more later on. So remember that prophecy is not just seeing something and passing it on. No, prophecy is supernaturally receiving, hearing from God and passing it on to someone else. Still yellow. Okay. The nature of prophecy. It changed a bit between the Old and the New Testament. We've had it, of course, in the Old Testament, and especially in the books from Isaiah all the way through to Malachi. These are just prophetic books, one after the other, and filled with prophecies. And there we see two themes. One of them is the heart of God for His people. Who is God? Who are the Israelites? Who are the people of God? This still exists in the New Testament. It hasn't really changed. So we are revealing the heart of God to a person or to a group of people. That is really the heart of prophecy. But then there's a second part, instruction about what is coming in the future. And that is something, especially the Old Testament prophets are just full of. What's going to happen to the Babylonians? What's going to happen to the Egyptians? And what's going to happen to Israel? And on and on. And some were very specific and some were very scary. We don't hear so much of that anymore in the New Testament. We do, but it's shifting now. Because now the main concern is not what we do, but the condition of our heart. And so now the aim of prophecy is shifting towards your heart more than the future of your life or the future of nations. Even though I'm not saying that has stopped, but the main focus has changed, what I'm trying to say. We now live in a new covenant. And now prophecy is more related to our identity and to our life in the Lord. This is the heart of prophecy. And there are four things that we can pick out in almost every prophecy if we take a closer look. There are what we can call the now words. It's a perspective on where we are in the Lord right now. So if a prophecy comes to you, hey, you are a son, a daughter of the living God. Okay, I knew that. Okay, but then you are, you know, and describes where you are right now, helps you to anchor yourself and to understand, oh yeah, right, I am on this journey and this is where I am. Confirming words, they provide strength to continue on to fight. Future words, it connects us with where we are going. It's getting a glimpse of the map. It's getting, you know, to see the road ahead of us, at least for a season. And sometimes there are what we call new words. They just indicate something the Lord is preparing us for, something you maybe never thought of. And there it comes. Oh, really? Could that be from God? I just want to let part of my own story come in here. And I know many of you have heard it. I'm sorry if you have to hear it again. But I was 18 years old when I met Jesus. I didn't know a thing about prophecy. And very early on in my new life with Jesus, I felt that he was doing something in my heart. He changed the dream of my life. Because all these years up to my 18th year, all I ever wanted to be in life was a pilot. And then I met Jesus and he changed that. Within a few weeks, I didn't want to be a pilot. I wanted to be a missionary. And I wanted to be a missionary to Asia. And I couldn't explain it and I didn't know where it came from, but it was something that grew in my heart. This is what I want. And then one Sunday, we had morning church. And afterwards, we were invited home to some friends for fika. And so we did that, had the Swedish fika. There were some of us young people, some older people. And there was a tradition back then, which has kind of died out. But back then it was quite common when people gathered for a meal that they would then spend some time to pray together before they would go home. It was a very common thing. So someone said, come on, let's pray before we go home. And when they said pray, they meant pray. They meant kneeling down pray. So we all knelt by our couches and chairs, and I had never done that in my life. It felt so awkward, kneeling down to pray. I didn't know what to do. I didn't know what to say. It felt strange, but I did as I was told. And as I was kneeling down and was trying to listen to what other people were praying, I felt this hand on my shoulder. Now, remind you, I had never heard of prophecy before. There was this hand on my shoulder, and I kind of stole a glance. And there was this little old lady. I don't know how old she was. You know, when you're young, everybody's old. She could have been 70, she could have been 80. I have no idea, but she was old. And she was just putting a hand on my shoulder, and she started to prophesy. Back then, I didn't even know the word yet. She said things about me, what the Lord was going to do through me. And it was quite long, but one sentence, it still rings very loud and clear in my mind today. And she said, and you will preach the gospel to a people you have never seen who speak a language that you have never heard. And she didn't know me. We had never been introduced. I had never shared anything with her. She didn't know about my dream. But she confirmed through prophecy. And I wonder today, what would have happened if she hadn't done that? That was her choice. You know, she could have said, I don't know who this guy is. Forget it. Would I have gone? I don't know. But at that time, I needed that, and she spoke life into my heart. She spoke purpose into my heart, because I knew it had to be God. There's no other way she could have known. That much I did understand as a young believer. This is supernatural. This is not normal. She could not have possibly known what's going on in my heart. And yet she said the very things that I sensed. And so this is the power of prophecy. I took it in my heart and I kept it. And I don't want to tell you the rest of the story, because it took a long time for that to become reality. But it did become reality. And as a result of that, we are here today. So these words are very important. Now, let me just go a little bit deeper in that. Just to get it clear, there are two ways that we can prophesy. We can predict the future, which is what the Old Testament prophets mainly did. They just said, and this, and this, and this is going to happen. The thing about that is, if you don't do that, it will still happen. It doesn't depend on you. There's a story in Acts 11 of a prophet by the name of Agabus, and he comes down to Antioch, to the early heathen church, and he said, the Lord is saying there's going to be a famine that will affect the whole world. And then it says right in the scripture, and it came to pass under the reign of Claudius. And the disciples were so moved that they collected money to send to the believers in Judea, because they knew they were going to need some extra funds for food. Now, this was very beautiful. But the truth is that famine would have come either way. Even if Agabus had not obeyed God for some reason or had not shared that word, it would have come either way. That's predicting prophecy. But then there's proclaiming prophecy, which is a whole other ball game. You're actually speaking things into being. And the best example I can find in the Bible anyways is in the book of Ezekiel. And he has this vision of the valley of dry bones. And the Lord speaks to him and he says to him, prophesy to these bones. Speak to them my word. Prophesy life to them. And he did. And then in the vision, these dead bodies turn into a living army. And of course, that was symbolic of what was to happen, partially with Israel and partially what is still going to happen to us, the church, I believe. But that is a different type of prophecy, because it would not have happened if Ezekiel had not have spoken those words. Now that's a scary thought, because it means that if we fail to choose to proclaim the word of God, it has an effect. It has an effect in people's lives. It has an effect in the history, maybe, of nations and the world. Think about that. This is huge. So therefore, we need to be very diligent to keep this in reality, but to also to seek this, as Paul said, because, hey, you have been given tremendous power. You have been given the power to change history. Very quickly, let me move on to some practical things. How then do we prophesy? For some of us, that may be a new thing, and you're wondering, well, how exactly does it work? Well, it's actually quite simple. There are these three phases. You receive something, supernatural information. And it comes to different people in different ways. Some see it as a picture. For some, it's a thought. For some, it's a feeling. It could be anything, really. But it's supernatural, and it comes to you, and you need to learn to understand that this is God trying to get your attention and trying to give you something to give away. And the first few times when that happens, you probably won't do it because you are afraid to make a mistake. But the Lord is consistent and persistent, and he keeps coming back. And there's this thought, and as you think about it, your heart begins to beat, and you just know, okay, there's something I need to do with this. Then comes the interpretation, whether it's a picture or a feeling or any other method, we need to translate it in some way that we can pass it on, especially if we know it is meant to be for a certain person. Now comes the hard part. I need to go up to them and somehow share this. And then comes the application, and that's really much depending on who you are as a person. As I said, I'm a very visual type of person, so often when the Lord speaks to me, I see something. And so that's what I take to the person. I see this, and I try to unpack that, and sometimes it makes sense to them, sometimes it doesn't. You can speak it, you can write it, you can SMS it, you can tweet it. I mean, we have so many possibilities today to connect with people, but we need to find a way to deliver what we have received to the person or the persons. Sometimes it's a whole group of people that need to hear what God has given you. Let me just move on here. What do I do when I get a prophecy? Remember, it's the intention of God, not the guarantee of an outcome necessarily. Why? Because God will never violate your free will. He will let you know what he wants to do in your life, but you can say no at any time. But for those of us that know him, we understand that he has his ways. He knows exactly how to push our buttons. And sometimes he pushes a bit. He pushes a bit. You know, I don't know about you, but some people are very good at knowing all the Hebrew words for God. Jehovah, Nissi, Jehovah, Jireh. Well, there's one most people don't know. It's called Jehovah Sneaky. And that's when he just comes in unexpected ways to let you know what he wants from you. And before we know it, we are caught. It's like he puts a hook in our heart and he reels us in. And before we know it, we're in the middle of something we never dreamt of. So he has his ways, but in the end, he will always respect your free will. He will never force you to do or say anything against your will. And that is the truth. So what we need to do is very clear. The scripture tells us. At first, we need to weigh it. Do not stifle the Holy Spirit. Do not scoff at prophecies, but test everything that is said and hold on to what is good. Do not quench is another translation. Don't put out the fire. Don't say, this is stupid. Don't say, well, I don't need this. That's what it means. But hold on to what is good. So it's like eating a fish. You eat the meat and you spit out the bones. Because the delivery has been brought to you by a human vessel that is not perfect. Chances are there are some bones in the fish. So you deal with that. But don't you dare reject the fish. Don't you dare reject the word. Don't you dare reject the prophecy. Because it can change your life forever. It has changed my life more than once. And I think there are some people here today, they're longing for direction right now. You need to hear from God. You're just in a place right now where things are tough and things aren't going the way you thought they should. And, if only I knew what God wants from me. You need a prophecy, don't you? Maybe you'll get one today. So we weigh what we receive. But then, if we believe it is from God, then we need to integrate it in our lives. We cannot simply ignore it. That's why I keep telling people over and over to write it down. I don't know how many Sundays I have received some kind of prophetic word, and I thought, I'll write it down tomorrow, and Monday came and I couldn't remember what it was. I mean, a little bit, but not the whole thing, and I could kick myself. I should have written it down right away. And now I lost something very important that God wanted to say to me. So don't do that. Write it down. We have so many different ways to write down information these days. There we have no excuse. It's a directive towards the heart of the Father. Remember that. The aim of prophecy is to bring you closer to God more than anything else. It's there to connect you with the heart of the Father. It's a seed, like a seed that's being planted in your heart, a seed of grace, a seed of power. And so it's something we need to let happen because it will bear fruit in its time. And we need to say yes to God's intention over us. We need to say yes, Lord. I don't understand it right now. It's too big for me, but I want it and I thank you for it. And as such, we need to turn it back to God in prayer and even declare it over us. I mean, that's what Jesus did. He walked into the synagogue one day. He pulled out the scroll from Isaiah and he prophesied over himself. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He has anointed me to preach good news to the poor, and on and on and on. He knew it was for him and he declared it over himself in front of everybody. Now, if Jesus needed to do that, maybe you and I need to do that too. Maybe we need to learn to declare what God has said over us. Maybe not in front of the whole church, but at least between you and God, or to a friend, or to your partner. We need to learn to do that. And I want to, at this point, talk about a wonderful example of how we can steward prophecy and see the effect of it in our lives. And the story is one that we all know. It's a story of Mary. When Jesus was born on the first Christmas, we hear that the angels were prophesying to the shepherds, and they were telling them about, this is the Messiah and this is the King, and the glory of the Lord is upon him, and on and on and on. And they then went to Mary. It's interesting that the angels didn't prophesy to Mary directly, but it was the shepherds first, and they retweeted it and brought it then to Mary. And it says, Mary received it and she treasured it in her heart. And that word is so beautiful. It means just that. It's like a treasure. It's like a million crowns or more. It's something valuable you don't want to lose. It's like a huge treasure you keep inside your heart. And then about 12 years later, the story of Jesus being naughty, they lose him somewhere, and they were in Jerusalem, and on the way home, there was a big crowd, I guess, and Jesus wasn't there, so they had to go back and find him. He was in the temple, sitting there with the teachers of the law and the Pharisees. He was discussing the Torah with them. And hey, parents get upset at stuff like that. And so, Jesus, what do you think you're doing? Didn't you know that I have to be in my Father's house? Again, he prophesied over himself. And I don't know what Joseph was thinking. He was probably fuming mad. But Mary, she kind of understood. And it repeats the same words again. And Mary treasured it in her heart. She took it in. Another layer of prophecy. Another layer of prophecy. She just kept it in her heart. And then the day came when the seed of prophecy in Mary's heart bore fruit. And it's really exciting. Fast forward now, roughly 18 years. Jesus had been baptized. Jesus had been filled with the Holy Spirit. Jesus had been tempted in the desert by Satan. And Jesus had chosen his disciples. And Jesus had not done a single miracle. They didn't follow him because of the miracles. They followed him because he said, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. And so Jesus and all his buddies are at the wedding, and mom is there as well. And something weird happens in the text. I don't know about you, but every time I read it, it rubs me the wrong way. Let me tell you what I mean. So Jesus and his disciples were guests also. And when they started running low on wine at the wedding banquet, Jesus' mother told him, "Hey, they're just about out of wine." And Jesus said, "Is that any of our business, mother? Yours or mine? It isn't my time. Don't push me." And she went ahead anyway, telling the servants, "Whatever he tells you, just do it." This is funny. It sounds like a mom talking to a teenager. "Clean your room, Jesus. Don't push me." It's like, what is going on? What is happening here? And the weirdest thing is, and then Jesus goes and does it. Was he lying before? Or what was he doing? I didn't understand it for the longest time. What was this story just kind of didn't make sense to me. But I think there is something beautiful in there that God wants us to see. In a sense, it was Mary that triggered the supernatural ministry of Jesus. It kept growing in her heart all those years. She knew it was going to happen sooner or later. Sooner or later, this was going to come out. And the Messiah was going to become visible, not just through words, but also through signs and wonders. And she finally came to that place in her heart, in her life. This is who Jesus is. He is the Son of God. He's not my son. And he is a miracle worker. And he will do great things. And he will lead Israel and on and on. And finally, when she came to that, she kind of made it happen. It was like giving birth all over again. It's like, "Jesus, hint, hint, there's no wine. Hint, hint. I know you can do it. I know you can. I believe in you, son. I know you can." And Jesus wasn't there yet. He had been waiting too, I'm sure. He was 30 years old by now. He knew what he was about. And yet, things hadn't begun to happen yet. And so he reacts from his heart and says, "You know, it's not my time yet. Leave me alone." But I believe that very moment that Mary saw who Jesus was, something shifted in the heavenlies and in the spiritual realm. And very quickly, I think Jesus caught on. He was spiritual, you know. He got it. Oops, maybe it is time. And it was. And he went and he told the servants, you know, "Take these pitchers, fill them with water," and you know the rest of the story. I don't think we can build a theology on that, and I don't want to do that. But deep down, I believe that there was something happening that we don't really see when we just read the text. And I think it has to do with the power of prophecy. The power of prophecy being so powerful that it releases people into new areas of life, new dimensions of ministry. I really, really believe that. And that's what we want to see. And that's what we're going to minister today, I hope. I'm going to close with just a thought here. Because there's a process, obviously, as we start growing in this gift. There are basically two steps to it. And the one is that there's this inspirational prophecy. It's available to everyone. And it's, as Paul says in 1 Corinthians, it's for the purpose of upbuilding, encouragement, and consolation. And that's all good, and we need that, and so let's do that. And you don't need to have a long prayer meeting before that. You don't need to weigh that all over the place. If you feel God wants you to encourage someone and lift them up, then just go do it. You can't really go wrong. But then there is this other phase, this revelational prophecy, which talks about maybe correction or giving clear direction to people, a warning, maybe a highlight for the way forward. And that you need to weigh a little bit more. You shouldn't just blurt that out. I made a big mistake when I was a youth pastor many years ago. We were having a prayer meeting, and we had a dear sister in our church who had a problem with her hip, and she had already artificial hip, but anyway, she was suffering. She couldn't walk right. She couldn't work right. And it couldn't be replaced because she was getting too old, something like that. And she kept coming for prayer over and over and over. And so One Sunday night, we were having this prayer time, and the Lord was there. The Lord was present, and we prayed for her, and I just wanted her so much to be healed that I blurted it out, and I said, "And the Lord will heal you." Well, she's now no longer alive. She passed away some years ago, but her hip was bad until the last day of her life. He didn't heal her. And I remember, but you know what happened? It gave them hope. They were still waiting for it. And they were actually believing that God would do it. And yet I know, looking back, I was ahead. I was not ready to give that word. I wanted it so bad. I wanted to see it so bad. And I took a step, but it wasn't ready. It wasn't right. It wasn't the right time. And yet, the Lord used it for good, I believe, because they really felt encouraged, and they were waiting for that healing for many, many years. And they didn't lose faith over it. Anyway, just to let us know that some prophecies need to be weighed, they need to be rehearsed, and they need a higher level of anointing and of power. But we start, we begin where we are. And as we obey, we grow. But the first step is for all of us to recognize we need to prophesy and we need to receive prophecies. Every single one of us. And I hope somehow I got through to you that this is really important. This is really what God wants for you. This will be the tool that will bring you closer to Him and to His heart and to His intentions for your life. I don't want to tell you all the stories, but we talked about different ways of giving prophecy. One time, I received a prophecy through a book. A lady whom I barely knew, I met her once, she sent me a book and she said, "I think God told me to send you this book. And I don't really know why, but here it is." And I read the book, and God spoke and gave me a direction for the next phase in my life. I'm not saying it has to be that way, but God can use anything. But it starts with the heart of prophecy. And it takes on many different pictures in many different ways. We need to be creative, and we need to allow the Lord to use any means available to get the message across to another person's heart. So now we are going to practice. I would like to ask all the SOCOM students to come up front, please. I know some are not here today, but those that are here, please come on up. So just kind of stand there and face the people. For those of you that don't know what SOCOM is, it's a school of kingdom ministry. We've been meeting now for almost 9 months, once a week. And we've studied and we have practiced and we have grown. And so I just want to use them as guinea pigs today to minister to you. But don't you worry, your turn will come. So we're going to play a game now. Yes, you come to church and you play games. We're going to play a game. It's called Prophecy Tag. Do you know what? You know the game of tag? You run up to someone. You're it. And then they have to go chase someone else. You know the game? We're going to play the spiritual version of it. So I'm going to invite the Holy Spirit. And He's already here. But it helps to... us, it helps us to say that again. And we're going to ask the spirit of prophecy to move in our midst. Now, the spirit of prophecy is the Holy Spirit. It's not another spirit. Don't get confused. It's just a different title. It is the Holy Spirit. It's God. We're going to ask the spirit of prophecy to move in our midst. And then what I ask you to do is then to look at the people out there and pick one person to go to and to prophesy over. Now, this can work in many different ways. For me, when that happens to me, I don't know what I'm saying until I get there. I need to go to the person and actually be with them until I hear anything at all. But the Lord may give you something already now. He may already, as you look at a person, show you something in some way what you should bring to them. So the idea is that then when I say go, then you go to the person that you have picked out and you tell them whatever it is. You start out by praying. Bless them. Can't go wrong. Pray for them. Bless them. But expect the Lord speak something through you to their heart. And then comes the cool part. Then that person will do the same thing. You will then look around and ask the Lord, who should I pray for? Or who should I prophesy over? And then you will go to that person and we'll just keep on going like that for a while. Okay? So, Holy Spirit, we ask you now to come. And I beg you, Lord, that we would understand how important this is and how much you yearn for us to receive and to give your word. That is your intention for us today. So we invite you, Holy Spirit. We ask that you would come as a spirit of prophecy over us and you would help us to minister life to one another. In Jesus' name.